This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live radio show tonight. It is wonderful to be here for yet another month. I can't believe how fast this year is growing. It is scaring me. Are you feeling the same way around the motu in the world? I wonder, is it going as fast? I suspect it's because I'm getting older. Hey, now you have welcomed us on the AA Live radio show, which is a show that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. I'm going to read the preamble to you, actually. That is going to give you a good idea as to what it's all about. Gives you a little bit of an idea of what we read this at the beginning of every meeting, so it'll you probably heard me drop all my papers then. That was a bit of fun. Anyway, let me start with this. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Something that we are working on right now with you out there, our listeners. And I am lucky enough tonight to have a couple of guest presenters with me, a couple of scallywags. So welcome, Daniel. Welcome, Andrew.
G'day.
Hi there.
Great to have you both here. How have your days been? What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Yeah, I guess things are more exciting these days. Nothing overly exciting, but it's just been, you know, better.
Just clearer?
Than usual, yeah.
You actually get to see the sun now?
Not today. I got up too late today. Like, my sleep's been all over the place, but, you know, it's something I'm working on.
Nice. Working on sleep. I don't think anybody I know who isn't working on sleep.
It's part of being an adult.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a teenager. He doesn't sleep much. Maybe, yeah. I'm waiting for that. Did your teenagers?
Late? Yeah, no, they do. Yeah, does yours sleep late?
No,
they're all different. But I had one that could sleep all day, and one that would wake up at, wake up at 8 o'clock every morning. So it's
Yeah, mine wakes up between 6 and 7.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
No, that's terrible. I thought as they got older I'd get a sleep in. This is so wrong. Hey, I'd just like to let our listeners know that what you hear this evening, they're just our opinions. They are not necessarily of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. I thought we'd start with the daily reflection. How about you, Andrew? You want to give that a bit of a run for us?
Give it a whirl, yes. So this is the daily reflection from April 30, and it's a great paradox. These legacies of suffering and of recovery are easily passed among alcoholics, one to the other. This is our gift from God, and it is bestowed upon others like us, is in the one aim that today animates AAs all around the globe. Right, that's from 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 151.
The great paradox of AA is that I know I cannot keep the precious gift of sobriety unless I give it away. My primary purpose is to stay sober. In AA, I have no other goal, and the importance of this is a matter of life or death for me. If I veer off from this purpose, I lose. But AA is not only for me. It is for the alcoholic who still suffers. The legions of recovering alcoholics stay sober by sharing with fellow alcoholics. The way to my recovery is to show others in AA that when I share with them, we both go in grace of a higher power. And both of us are on the road to a happy destiny.
My goodness. Now, out there, you may realise that I actually put the wrong mic on for Andrew, but my wonderful producer just came in and sorted me out while he was reading. So hopefully you get to hear all of that, because he'll sort that out for me. Now, I wanted to talk about that reading. What's your first thought that comes to mind when you heard that, Daniel?
I couldn't focus on it that well, but I guess, I don't know, spreading the message to other alcoholics, I wouldn't mind reading over it myself, just to have a look.
But, well, that's fair enough. No, yeah, I must say, it is a great paradox, because we do go in there thinking that we're, oh, I don't know, I went in there thinking, oh, someone's going to help me learn how to drink normally, only to discover that, yeah, we're here right now doing the great paradox because we reach out to others and we spread what we've got. It's really like a great big Chinese whisper that doesn't go wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, I quite like just to focus specifically on sobriety. Like, I have a list of things I try and do every day, but as long as I do them and as long as I stay sober, I know I'm going to be well.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, look, it's interesting because I speak to my sponsor about this and he's a big one on step one. He says the only thing you need to get 100% right in step one is, which is my primary purpose is to stay sober and to work with another alcoholic. And from there, everything else flows. And, you know, you can be doing this for all sorts of reasons. But fundamentally, you've got to do it for yourself. And once you get that piece of the building block locked in, the primary purpose to stay sober, everything else does flow from that.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? I don't know, when I first walked into the rooms, I don't know about you two, but excuse me, when I first walked in, I was not so much thinking that I was going to be helping other people or working with other people directly. In fact, I had no idea at all what was going to be. So yeah, those 12 steps and that first one, understanding that you've got unmanageability going on with your life, with your drinking, with everything that's going on around you, your bubble basically. Then to find that you have to hand that on to someone else and work with someone else is, I don't know if I would have walked into the rooms if I'd known that, but it seems such a natural thing to do.
To work with other people now that you're in the rooms. Yeah, look, I think everyone's expectation of what, you know, from outside looking in versus inside looking out is you know, very much, you know, very different in terms of what we expected. But, you know, it always amazes me that this program speaks so directly to me in terms of how, you know, there's been this whole organization and movement happening parallel to my life, but that, you know, now that I'm part of that, it really is almost design built for me. That's how I feel. And
absolutely,
yeah. And you know, so even though some of the, when you go in, some of the principles, some of the things are all, you know, steep learning curves, like as you progress through it, it all just flows in and makes sense.
Yeah, it's like I think Daniel and I had the same meeting last night. It is something that just flows, rather than you don't have to concentrate on every one of those steps and every one of those traditions at the beginning, thankfully.
Yeah, that's where I went wrong from the start. Years ago, I tried AA. It was through the Salvation Army Bridge program. We went to meetings. And I've heard people say, like, going to meetings ruins their drinking. It kind of did for me, which is good. Like, I'm glad. But I didn't start getting it until quite recently, where I actually got a sponsor, and that was really important for me, because the power of one alcoholic talking to another, like, cannot be underestimated.
So when you came out of the bridge, did you go to meetings? Or
I did for a while, but
didn't get a sponsor?
I didn't get a sponsor, no. I was very intimidated by the 12 steps, specifically the religious angle, and also with steps 8 and 9, I was thinking, oh, I haven't done that much wrong to people, and then thought I'd need God, specifically a religious God, like my idea of what that was. And it just, it took a very long time. And I was one that hid my drinking so well that I thought, oh, well, it's not that bad. No one's, like, yeah, no one knows
about
it. No one's
been involved.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, like this year, well, not this year, basically starting from last year. Sorry, I keep getting confused thinking it's still 2023. But, yeah, I started taking it a lot more seriously. And main thing is actually enjoying it, enjoying going to
the
meetings.
The journey of AA, yeah, yes.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. And it's... I do agree. We do sometimes mess with your drinking if you come in younger. I mean, I was told at 25 I was, you know, an alcoholic. And I went, no, I can manage this. And it took me till 49 to come into the rooms. But, yeah, we do have a huge stubborn streak.
I knew I was an alcoholic straight away, but one of the most important things, I guess, for me to focus on, say, early step work, is the part of step one of life being unmanageable.
Like, correct.
I've probably said that quite a lot at meetings and stuff, but like, I knew I was powerless over alcohol. I just wasn't willing to admit that my life was unmanageable. And like being aware of that now, like, I'm so grateful that I'm out of it.
Yeah, I have to agree. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, like it's interesting because I probably... Yeah, I was the opposite. I felt it was I knew I was in trouble, but I was at a point where I was working out how I was going to design the rest of my life around drinking.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And then it becomes manageable, right? So yes. As long as everyone else can.
So you think.
Yeah. But of course, it sort of doesn't work that way. And as we know, and like it's that one thing where you talk of normal drinkers versus the alcoholic, and that normal drinker. You know, that's the saying, you know, one drink is not enough, a thousand.
One drink is too many,
a thousand's not enough. And that was absolutely me. And so yeah, I mean, what a wonderful thing to be able to have a drink and to walk off with half stubby left on the bar. Absolutely impossible for me. And, at the very end there, it was just completely impossible for me to do that. And so it's only when you step back from the madness of being in that whole thing that you look at it and you realise in sobriety that your life was totally unmanageable. And the more I look back at it, the more mad I thought, I just go, my God, I was really off my chops.
I know, it's funny.
Yeah, it? Yeah. But whilst at the time, everyone else was mad, not me. Yeah.
You know, I have to say that is exactly how I saw it too. Yeah, I mean, literally that 25 to 49, I was managing my life, for goodness sake. Don't tell me I wasn't. I was working. I was very productive. I was successful. I travelled. I did all sorts of things. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. I can finish my day with a drink and I can work drunk.
Yeah, and I can start my day with one. And all those sort of things reinforce, you know, because I think we have that, obviously, that stereotypical on a park bench with a brown paper bag. And so as long as you're not that, then you can't possibly be that. But, you know, looking back, deep down, I think you know, it's looking back, well, having a drink at, you know, 7 in the morning, and what part of you at the time thought that that was normal?
I had a job where we used to start with a shot. You know, that was how we started it. It was like, and the owner would say, what are we going to have?
Yeah.
You know, and so you think it's normalised. And
I guess for a lot of people it potentially can be, you know what I mean? Like, I know people that started in exactly the same place that I did in terms of their pathway from young, you know, 14, 18, you know, whatever, and, you know, varying. But they didn't end up where I didn't, and they're perfectly normal in respect of alcohol.
I like the way you clarified in respect of alcohol, other way.
Everyone's got their issues, but, you know, that one's my one. But, I guess, again, and I've spoken to my sponsor about this, is, you know, some people will replace alcohol with marijuana or drug use or whatever, but it was interesting because I went down that road a wee bit as well, and but, you know, just speaking to to your sponsor, you know, it's not actually the product, it's actually you. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
it's, you know, our choices.
Yeah, it's and you're an addict. Yeah. It's not the product, it's the same reason why someone can take a drink and not pick up another one. That's because that's who they are. You're not like that. And, and you know, that's part of the process of learning is in this program.
It's part of the disease, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, you are listening to the AA Live Show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. Now, the lads have brought in some music and we are going to go for the next one. We've got some Velvet Underground, thanks to Daniel. We're going to kick that one off and see how it goes.
Where they going is the fine man. Hell, don't know I'm gonna make me go blind. Oh, why he did tickle me down to my toes? Ooh, have mercy while I have it through the nose. Where they going is for my dream. Oh, why that is gonna drive me insane. Oh, why he did tickle me down to my toes? Why not? I said, my goodness knows, do it. I truly do love watch that stuff dip itself in. Watch that side, no, it's not gonna be dead and right. Bad foxy mama walks the walk down the street. Outside your head gonna make a dead ain't on the street. While I know you're near, be my friend. While I gone, you go insane. Oh, why he did tickle me down to my toes. Oh, why light I sit now, goodness knows. Oh, why light it lighting up my eyes. Don't you know it fills me up with surprise. Oh, why he tickle me down to my toes. I tell you now, goodness knows I'm working. Watch that sweet freak, watch that sweet freak. It's gonna go and make it every week. Oh, split a motor, everyone's gonna kill a motor. It's guns, everybody get gonna make me run to it.
Holy moly, that woke me up.
Good.
What was that all about? Jeez. Okay, so we weren't toe-tapping in here, but we can certainly feel it. And as Daniel said, it's quite full-on. But I think that'll have woken you all up, and I hope so. Now, I wanted to talk to you guys about your first meetings. Now, Daniel, I know you've been into rehab a couple of times, so you've had a few first meetings, at different levels. What about yourself, Andrew? Have you come in before and then gone away and then come back?
You have
as well. So you've got a couple of first meetings.
Yeah, no,
as well.
I think it's okay. Yes, I have. I mean, interestingly, I made contact with the program 20 odd years ago.
Right.
Just reached out, knowing that something was wrong, but never. And it's funny how often you hear this. You know, I rang, but never went. And
never
I
went.
Always remember the guy saying to me, "Listen. Normal drinkers don't ring AA," and that stuck with me, even though I didn't come back to it for 20 odd years later. But that did stick with me. So I mean,
well, it stuck with you enough to bring you back to the room. So it doesn't matter how long it takes.
No, and it's a very familiar sort of yarn, really, with people. You know, they have a poke and come and go and stuff like that. So I mean, I yeah, basically just helpless, whatever that is. You know, just couldn't, just knew I needed something. Was couldn't get out of my own way in terms of getting on top of this. My life was completely at a low ebb. So, you know, I don't know why I went there just for help. You know, I've got to do something. And it was pretty broken when I turned up. And, you know, was in the wrong place, didn't like the people, you know, man, you know, that's good.
It was all
good,
about everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, it's good for them, you know, I wish them well, I'm not going to go back. But anyway, just, you know, keep coming back. So I did that, and, you know, that's one thing I did, and, you know, the whole meetings things for me are vitally important to getting along to them, and, you know, the old mantra that, you know, as many as you can go to, and I try to get to 3 a week if I can.
What was the most amount of meetings that you got to at your height of doing Alcoholics Anonymous? Were you ever able to increase that?
Five would be a big week. I mean, I know a lot of people that do, you know, 90 on 90.
I don't know how people do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're in like a big city like Melbourne or Sydney, you know, you've got 10, 15 meetings a day. And it's great when you actually are out of town because you go to big towns like that and you can then do back-to-backs, which I really enjoy. But, you know, I have a 3 meeting minimum, and if I haven't done that in the week, I sort of feel I'm undernourished. But so my sponsor says, you know, 3 meetings a week, good on you.
Yeah.
2 meetings a week, good luck. 1 meeting a week, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And so I sort of keep that as a sort of insurance policy. And so I sort of figure whatever else is going on in my life, as long as I get to 3, I'm not going to fall back into bad habits. Maybe not advancing, but I'm not going back. So that's kind of my mantra, I guess, in my own way.
What about you, Daniel? What were your first meetings like?
First meeting I had, I didn't want to say the Serenity Prayer. Like I don't know why.
Religion.
I had a big issue with that.
Mm. A lot of people think it's religion based, but it's not.
And it took me a very long time to realise it wasn't, like literally over a decade. But first time I came in, I just thought, you know, if I say the Serenity Prayer, it's almost like, I don't know, I felt dirty. I felt like I was like praying to the wrong God, even though I didn't believe in any at the time. But like it was, I don't know, it's confusing. And I had to go to meetings because I was part of the Salvation Army Bridge Program. We had to go to at least 3 a week. And if we didn't go to at least 3 a week, we had like different, say, rights taken off us. Like we couldn't
The
walk
old scorecard.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is good, which is actually good. Like I
so
ended
teaching
up,
you to be responsible.
Yeah. I ended up getting into NA as well as AA.
Well, because in the bridge you have a mixture of people doing both.
Yeah, I still do both, even though I am an alcoholic. I have had issues with drugs in the past, but alcohol is the main problem. Early on I didn't take it that seriously. I did, after a while, start enjoying the meetings, and this was while I was at the bridge. Well, first time I did the Salvation Army Bridge program, I ended up relapsing a couple of hours after I left the program. And then meetings were very sporadic for maybe a few months after that, but I never actually had any significant period of sobriety up. And then I ended up going back to the Bridge program in 2019, I think, or 2020. Mm. And at that time I had... I remembered the people from AA and NA.
Did you see anybody there that you had gone through the bridge with that had stuck with it?
No.
You haven't seen anybody?
No. Well, right. I'm in touch with most of the people that I've been in the bridge with, like on Facebook and that sort of thing. Some of them aren't alive, unfortunately. Mm. But, yeah, I didn't see anyone that I went to the bridge with that continued going to meetings and stuff.
Of course, people come from different towns as well when they're in there, aren't they? It's not like they all live. All live in the same town.
Yeah.
It's a,
I'm still in touch with some like people that are still in Dunedin. They don't go to meetings, but some of them are actually still sober. So that's good. I can't remember where my train of thought was going. I ended up rambling in.
Sorry, we were talking about what your first meeting was like.
Yeah. Second time I did the bridge, it's another, I guess, first for me was I ended up doing meetings for a couple of months after that, but I was only making it to maybe one a week, and I didn't have a sponsor.
Oh, gosh. Look at that, Andrew. Your saying has come into fruition there.
I wish I could say it was my saying. But,
Well, yeah, your sponsor's saying, but, you know.
But, well, for me, I don't drive, and it's real hard to get me out of the house. Like,
right.
But like, even today was difficult, but I'm glad I'm here, like, to be honest. Like, I can focus on recovery for about an hour or so, and no, it's good. It's good to be out.
Do you find it gives you a little bit of a reprieve? Even catching up like this we are tonight, right? We can, I don't know about you guys, I'll sit and chat to people about recovery. It's a gives me, I always get good little snippets, and it gives me an hour off from where my brain goes, because while I'm not drinking anymore, part of my isms are still active.
If I spend too long away from it, though, my thinking starts...
Stinking thinking.
Well, yeah, like I start thinking, oh, well, what do I want to remind myself of drinking by going to something that's focused around drinking? Like I, and like all sorts of things, but then another part of me kicks in thinking, oh, I can, you know, stay sober through spite. Like that's, I don't know, that's a dangerous thing, but...
Well, that's the way, this is the thing, isn't it, with the alcoholism. Your brain has its own agenda, and the disease, if you start relaxing and feeling comfortable, it will sit there in the back of your head and it will start yelling at you, you don't need AA.
Yeah.
You really don't need AA. You don't need to be sober. Just have one. And that is why we have that saying, do not pick up the first drink. Because it'll lead us down a path to.
I think that's it, isn't it? That the program gives the ability not to, which I didn't have before. But I, you know, I'm not saying I won't have it again, or you know. But if I know that if I keep doing this, the chance of me doing that are remote. Because and it, to be honest, it gets less. But the triggers of, you know, and it can be anything. The bizarrest sort of thing of a set of circumstances that you always used to drink in. Or, you know, a sunny day or whatever it is can trigger and as you say, it sits lying in wait and it'll start driving you down there. But it's nice to be able to have something of strength or you know, of something of substance to lean back on. And so I find myself sometimes like laughing, like, that's my disease having a wee lash and good on you, but you're not going to win today. Well, and touch wood, you know, yeah, that's the case so far today.
I have conversations like that in my head sometimes too. You're not getting me today.
Yeah,
no way. Yeah. And in fact, I had a conversation with myself earlier today about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just finding with this full moon that we've just had, it's thrown me right off key. And I've got no patience for idiots. And I've decided everybody else is an idiot. So I'm having to really work my program at the moment.
Mm.
Not because I want to pick up, but because my behaviour will become quite abhorrent.
Yeah, so it's that whole symptom, the alcohol's a symptom stuff. So yeah, that's just the way you sort of treat it. And so the madness is still
the
madness is still very much there. Oh, yeah.
The madness is there. Bring it on.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you were saying to somebody, you know, can't try a meeting, what would you say to them? Would you say, it's not that bad, give it a go? Or would you say, yeah, it's full of weirdos, just keep going? Or would you, like, I honestly thought when I went in there that it would be the brown paper bag contingent with the overcoat and so forth. So the people that I've met who are artistic and creative and professional and successful, and there's so many different types of people in these rooms, once I've seen one person come in with a brown paper bag. He had come out of rehab and had hit the Terps pretty hard and was not well. But that's the only person I've ever seen.
But he was at a meeting.
But he came to a meeting.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll remember he was at a meeting. He left pretty quickly from the meeting.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Would you say to somebody, how would you describe it if you had to say to someone, go to one?
I'd depends on the person, to be honest. Like,
true.
Some people are a lot easier to lure in than others. Like, I don't know if that's the right words to use.
Yeah, but, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not trying to trap people in some sort of know.
No, I'm crazy just having cult, you on. No, I've got my fish hook out already.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I'd just have a conversation with them about why I go to AA, why I enjoy it, and sort of tell them about my first experiences, basically what I've been doing on this or what I've been trying to do or what you've been trying to get me to do. I'm not really sure, to be honest. But it depends on the person. I would I don't know, the whole religion thing for me would probably scare away my friends who are alcoholics that don't go to meetings yet.
It's really funny, that religion thing, isn't it? You know, that people think, because it's not affiliated with anything when it comes to churches. Yes, the higher power side of things can be called God if that's what you choose, but this is it all about it, isn't it? It's
for me, my last significant relapse was a reaction to reading Chapter to the Agnostic.
Right.
But luckily, my sponsor basically saved me from that, so...
How amazing.
Yeah, but no,
power of a sponsor.
Yeah, it does depend on the person.
True.
But I'd basically tell them, keep at it. Like, you know, it is an hour to sit down and you don't have to listen. You can just zone out for an hour and then ramble about your drinking or whatever. Like, as long, like, and afterwards as well, like, stick around and talk to people. Like, early in meetings, I didn't do that. I just, like, go to meetings, leave, and I wouldn't get much from the meetings because I wasn't taking it seriously. It's like I had to be there for the bridge thing, and I only had to be at that to save my job. Time around, second time around was different, but just keep at it. Like, take it as an hour to sit down, breathe,
have a
think
reprieve
about
from life.
Yeah.
What about you, Andrew?
So I would. Look, that I'm from a religious background, so it doesn't sort of scare me too much. I mean, I went to religious schools, and so I've spent a lifetime, you know, ignoring it. My advice would be to go along, listen to everyone, and try and listen to the things that you identify with, not the things you don't. And of all the times I've been in the, you know, I don't know how many people you listen to each meeting, it might be 10, 5, 15, doesn't matter, but I've never listened to someone sharing that I haven't gone, aha. And there's every single sharer, and that's from, I've always had a moment where I go, yep, that's me. Yep, I can identify with that. Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. So I would encourage them to listen for that thing that tweaks them.
That similarity?
Yeah, just put the God thing to one side. You've got plenty of time for that, you know, and you'll as you get into the program, you actually realize it's not a God thing, it's a higher power thing, and that higher power can be anything you want, you know, and it's just about a spirituality. So it's more of a spiritual than religious program as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, so I would be just listen for the similarities, and whatever you do, come back. That's all you got to do, just come back. And then if you have that come back, you'll come back again. And then just, yeah, it'll grow on you. Like
it grows, doesn't it?
Yeah, you don't find AA, it finds you, you know, and it just, it does. It grows on you. And then all of a sudden, you know, it, for me, it's keeping me alive.
It's keeping you alive.
Yeah, so that's how important it is. Yeah.
That's an incredibly special thing. We're very, very lucky for that.
The thing I'd also encourage people to do, I guess, is look for a sponsor, like early on, like listen to everyone and like compare them, I guess, in your head to, oh, who would best sort of be able to show me how they did it. Well, that's kind of what I did anyway.
Like, I was always told, go and talk to somebody who you like the look of their sobriety. You know, if you see somebody listen to somebody who shares and you think, oh, I want their life.
That's a good
then
way.
You go up to them and you say, are you sponsoring?
yeah. I found, I had a couple of sponsors, and my first one was great, but it just didn't click. But, you know, he's become a friend of mine and that sort of stuff. And the sponsor I have now, yeah, I listened to him and kind of liked him and thought I'd probably get on with it. I guess that was the thing. I'd get on with that person and I feel I could talk to that person. It's great.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I had one sponsor, but we were just so – my first sponsor, both of us were so busy, family life, work life, all of those things. So, yeah, this second one It was necessary to find another one.
Yeah.
Just the way it was. Life is like that. Hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying the chat out there, all our listeners. You are listening to the AA Live radio show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. Now, Daniel has brought in another song for us. Now, this song is from David Lynch. Now, I don't know if any of you have that name's going ping in your head. That name is going ping because he is a TV producer or director.
He's a film director
he's
as well.
He's a film director as well. Twin Peaks is what Daniel's affiliation with him is. So he plays with a bit of music, this David Lynch. So we're going to try and get one of those going this evening. These Are My Friends is the song.
Betty got a yellow basket.
there you go. Thank you, David Lynch. Thank you, Daniel. That was an experience. It was going on in the back of my mind. I could hear all of that while we were chatting, because that's obviously what we do. And I'm not quite sure what I got from the song, except it was there.
Yeah. Well,
it was present.
That's what David Lynch is. Like, you're not supposed to understand it. It's just.
I
guess it's pretentious. I don't know. Maybe. Just look him up anyway, David Lynch.
Go for it. Yeah, we will. We'll have a look at that. Now, I wanted to talk to you guys about one thing. We have a lot of pamphlets, and we were just discussing in that while David Lynch was doing his thing, that we haven't all read the pamphlets that are available. There are a lot of them. But I've picked up this one that's frequently asked questions about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I sort of wanted to throw a couple of them at you guys and see what you came up with, and then I'd see if it lined up with what the answer was in the pamphlet. Now, it's not an exam. There's no points. There's no losses, nothing, okay?
So we're just to discover perception.
I just want your perception. So I'll ask you first, Andrew, what is alcoholism?
Wow.
Big question.
Yeah. For me, alcoholism is a disease that manifests itself with drink. Unmanageable, uncontrollable drinking.
Did you read the pamphlet?
No. I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it. Of course. What was I thinking?
No, is that close? Am I close?
Yeah, you're kind of close. You know, yeah. There are many different ideas about what alcoholism really is. But yes, it's an illness, a progressive illness. We can't be cured. It's, you know, some other diseases, it says here, can be arrested.
A lot of alcoholics get arrested as well.
Going one step further, it says many AAs feel that the illness represents the combination of a physical sensitivity to alcohol and a mental obsession with drinking.
Yep.
So it's pretty much, you know, regardless of the consequences.
I like the progressive thing.
Definitely. It is progressive. Yeah. I had a great time at the beginning.
Yeah. How did it turn into that?
The elixir awful of everything. At the
and,
end.
It's a gee whiz, how did that happen? So that you know, that's that patient, cunning, baffling, powerful, also patient, you know.
It just waits.
Yeah, it can outlast you.
One of the other questions, Daniel, I'll throw this one to you. Yep. It was asking us, can an alcoholic ever drink normally again?
I don't know if you're asking the right person that, to be honest. Short answer, no, absolutely not. But for me, I thought, if I'm on certain medication, I can drink again. And, tried experiments and things like that. But, answer, no, absolutely not. And
that's that crafty disease telling you you can get away with it.
Like I said, you're asking the wrong person, because I'll probably ask the question, why would you want to? It's vegetable juice. But I don't know. You can't. You absolutely cannot. And I guess we're all sort of living testaments of that.
We are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's, you've got to come to that though. We're not someone tut-tutting, no, you never can. But as you go through this, I've found anyway, no is the answer, but I had to discover that. And, nothing like a good old relapse to discover, maybe I could, I can just have one. And within a third of the way through the bottle, you're on the way to the bottle store, getting way more,
it's like some of those stories we hear in the room. So I was sitting with friends at a barbecue, and the next thing you know, somebody said, yeah, have a beer, and I did it and took a swig, and that was it.
Yep.
And 2 weeks later, I woke up and went, oh, dear.
Yeah. So for me, the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah, same.
But that's only as a result of being in the rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
With one drink, I'm liable to lose months.
It gets
out of control quickly.
I find it really interesting that as I've been longer in my sobriety, the back of my head says to me, don't ruin what you've done so far. do not ruin it. Don't do it. And so the fear, you know, that's fear is always somewhere, isn't it? But that fear is, I would have to start again, and I don't want to.
In the past, I guess my milestones were actually sort of a dangerous period for me, because I'm like, oh, I've done this. I've been 30 days. Oh, well done. I've done 60 days. Celebrate. And, like, I don't know. Like, I've stopped doing that, of course, and I'm still here. But, yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that.
Well, no, I think you've made the point. It's true. You do. I sometimes think like that too. If I see somebody getting their 30-day chip or their 60-day chip or something, and I think, oh, I hope they don't go out and think, yes, I've reached this mark, I can go and have another drink. I hope they've heard enough to understand that they're best not to.
Yeah.
Ever.
But I think, I mean, you know, like those relapses where, you know, I think they're learn
necessary.
A lot from them. Well, yeah, I wish they weren't. You know, hopefully you don't have to, but the reality is, you know, like it even says in the big book, you know, if you doubt this, like, then go out and try doing it, you know, yeah. And, you know, idea to sort of.
Put some more practice.
Yeah. And you'll quickly, gee whiz, I can't do that, you know.
Well, we're all sitting here. I don't know about you. I mean, you've sort of shared already. I've had many relapses of thinking, I don't want to, but I have.
It is a progressive illness. So it gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
Each of my relapses have been worse than the last.
Yeah. And the problem with that is it's, you know, it's a life and death situation. So, you know, the next one could be the time that it just takes you out. You're doing something silly, driving, whatever it is. But it absolutely is progressive. I mean, I could stop when I was younger. Friday, Saturday night was the nights, and that was it. Wouldn't drink during the week.
Yes, I was the same.
But then progressed to literally the only difference with me was is I wasn't on a park bench. But I was still swigging out of the bottle at very odd
early
hours.
Strange hours of the day.
Yeah, constantly.
I was just drinking with different groups of people on different days, so no one knew that I was drinking every day.
Yeah. different
I wasn't doing it alone, so I didn't have a problem.
I was completely alone by the end of it. So.
Oh, same.
Did one of the things that I found with before I came into the rooms is a huge argument in my head was, I don't think I can live without alcohol. This is my best friend. How could I possibly proceed with life without drinking? That was a big debate for me before I hit my rock bottom. There was a period of time. Did any of you have that?
With me, it was interesting. Like, I over time learned that my relationship with alcohol, as well as being an alcoholic, is I subconsciously attributed that to years of good times. Like, as soon as I started drinking, things were awesome, and it lasted for ages. And the only constant throughout all this, I had all these great friends and stuff, did all these great things. The only constant throughout the whole thing was alcohol, and like my brain was like just associating alcohol with that when I should have been associating maybe people, maybe events, maybe actual good things. Like, if the alcohol was like irrelevant, I just happened to be drinking it all the time. But
I agree with you there, actually, Daniel. What you've just said was great. It's almost like the alcohol was standing with a big beaming light going, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. But it wasn't.
Alcohol is a narcissist. But I didn't grieve giving up alcohol. I did grieve giving up other things, but like things like certain drugs or whatever. Like I miss those, but I'm not addicted to I'm addicted to everything I touch, actually. So I shouldn't say that. But I miss other things more than I miss alcohol. But like, I don't need those things.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I gave up drugs really easy, but I loved them. But I could give them up. But the alcohol, no way. That was one drug I just couldn't give up.
You do mourn the loss of that because, it was awesome at one stage in probably all our lives, and, you know, it was outstanding and all that. And then it became this It's like the monkey on the back sort of thing, you know, just turns into a gorilla. And that's, you know, it might take 20, 30, 40 years. But to me...
Well, I became a slave to it.
Yeah, yeah.
To feed it.
It doesn't drink, you don't drink out of it, it drinks out of you. And I think for me, though, just the pure joy that life can give you, from that I have as a result of not drinking, is it's the smallest price to pay in terms of not drinking. You know, I don't want to do it. I don't want to drink again.
Yeah, I have to say I'm the same. The life I have today, I didn't realise actually that life could have so much joy and positivity, and I didn't realise I could feel so good.
I didn't realise that this is how good life could be.
Could be.
My word. I mean, and I was at a meeting today, and we read The Promises, and to me, I mean, if any listeners get a chance to have a read of them, I mean... It's just amazing. To me, I just think, yep, that's exactly what my life is today.
Yeah, I like The Promises.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a couple of meetings I go to a week that read The Promises, and it's my favourite part.
Yeah, it is.
Because they do identify all the things. If I give up alcohol, this could happen, and it is. It's a huge list, too. It is very, very different. Well, guys, I've really enjoyed your company this evening. Thank you so much. I'm just going to do a little bit of housekeeping stuff that we have to do, which is just reminding our listeners out there that if you want to drink, that is your business. If you want to stop, well, that's the business we're in. So, you know, we found a way that works, as you've heard from our chit-chat this evening. Give us a call on 0800 AA Works. That is 0800 229 6757. You can also email us if you like. We love hearing from you. You can email us at aa.live.radio@gmail.com. Jump on the New Zealand website too if you'd like some more information. That is aa.org.nz. Now that has got so much information on it. Well worth a look. But if you ring us on that 0800 line too, you'll get not us that's in the studio tonight, but you'll get one of us in recovery because we man it. That's what happens. So we're going to finish with another song this evening, and this one my son has picked. And I hope you enjoy it. I've realised I've put it on the wrong zone there, but thanks for coming in tonight, guys.
Pleasure.
It's been
Thanks
really
for
good
us.
Fun. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you.
And thank you out there to our listeners tonight. And I would like to send out our strength to you. We've shared some strength, some experiences and some honesty with you tonight. I hope you take that away. Find the similarities. Take what you need from it. Until next time, stay safe out there. Ka kite to my wonderful co-hosts and matiwa everyone else.
You know I'm back, like I never left.
I never left.
Another sprint, another step,
another step.
Another day, another breath,
another breath.
Been chasing dreams, but I never slept.
I never slept.
I got a new attitude and a lease on life as a peace of mind. Seeking a find, I can sleep when I die. Want a piece of the pie, got the keys to the ride. And shit, I'm straight, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, get out my way. I'm running late, what can I say? I heard you die twice, once when they bury you in the grave, and the second time is the last time that somebody mentions your name. So when I leave here on this earth, did I take more than I gave? Did I look out for the people, or did I do it all for fame? Legend is Exodus, searching for euphoria, trudging through the mud to find the present, no ignoring us. Got 20,000 deep up in the street like we some warriors. My mama told me never bow your head.
I feel glorious, glorious. Got a chance to start again. I was born for this, born for this. It's who I am, how could I forget? I made it through the darkest part of the night, and now I see the sunrise. Now I feel glorious, glorious. I feel glorious, glorious.
I'm feeling glorious. The crib looking DeLorean,
yeah, we went
on guard. Things are just.
smiling down on me like, ooh, that boy got bars. Okay, okay, yes I do. I said amen and hallelujah, let me testify to another morning, I'm on it. Won't let self get in my way. I got my breath, I got my faith, and I remember why I came.
I feel glorious, glorious. Got a chance to start again. I was born for this, born for this. It's who I am, I could have forget. I made it through the darkest part of the night, and now I see the sunrise. Now I feel glorious, glorious. I feel glorious, glorious. We gon' be alright, put that on my life. When I open my eyes, hope I see you shine. We're planting our flag, they don't understand. The world is up for grabs. We gon' be alright.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.